are.
Hello, and welcome to episode 338 of the Hooniverse podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Glucker, and I'm joined by my fellow limited edition American Express card holder, Ron Baugh.
Oh my God, we got the badass Delta card just in time for Delta pilots to go on strike.
Yeah,
and just yes. Fuck everything up.
Yep.
Congratulations, idiots.
Yeah, and I'm about to start traveling less for work too, potentially. So, or I am.
Oh
so.
Man, brilliant move all the way around.
Yep, good timing. It's like how I go with buying and selling cars, how I make decisions, all of it. Quick shout out before we get started to Twitter user The Fool Sufferer, who mentioned today that they're on episode 20, and their question, when I said who wants questions for tonight, they asked how my Hemi swapped wagon is coming along. So The Fool Sufferer, if you hang in there until 3:38, hello again. You'll learn a lot. Let's dive in to some bring a trailer auction action, because I love doing this. And side note, it makes for easy ass content.
Sure. And you didn't send me a link, did you?
Nope. I sent you no link. So you're going to see these. I'm going to pull them up on the screen. Hopefully it works.
Sure.
I'm in a content gulch at the moment because my day job's taking up a lot of energy and the fact that we're 1 month out from Autopia.
Yeah, buddy.
So first up, let me grab this
to on the day, right?
I mean, what's that? To the day.
To the correct. Day.
To the dizzle. Yes, to the day. Where is my... All right. Okay. I'm always like such an old man when it comes to sharing this shit. First one is... Let me scroll and find it. Where'd you go, you motherfucker? Oh, tell me I closed that one. Oh, no. There it is. All right. Share.
Come on, dude. We can't both be technologically illiterate.
All right. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
That is a... No reserve sale, 13,000 mile, which is amazing, but it's a 97 Land Cruiser that someone paid $135,000 for.
God damn. How many miles?
13,000.
Well, still.
God very damn. Low. Yeah, exactly. Still. Is it this one? No. Where's tab is it? Of course, I can't find it anymore. There it is. Okay. So the truck is clean. It was owned by, it was sold by Corsetti Cruisers, which actually buys Land Cruisers and turns them into awesome FJ60s, FJ80s. I think he does more 60s. So I don't know what he did with this one, why he had it, or he just bought it to flip because it's insanely clean. And it is insanely right. clean, but that number is ridiculous.
I've always wondered about the history of cars like that, like utilitarian vehicles that had no mileage. Like, was it just a ranch car? Like, do they say it? Like, they usually give like the title history.
They did, but
description.
It doesn't matter because that's.
I know, but I'm just curious.
No, like, I hear you.
I don't think it justifies the price. I'm just curious how somebody like who decides to sit on a vehicle like that.
Right. Right. Yeah. Cause it was a tool. It was, you know, when mm-hmm. the thing came out, people were like, oh, I'm going to the mountains with this. And this person was like, oh, I'm going to put this in the garage and never use it. But the person who bought it, cause someone on Twitter found the guy's Instagram account of the person who bought it. And sure. he has like, let's just say, money is no object to the person right. who bought it. Right. Like it was all just cars, watches, booze, like just, and all very of high course. End. So this is a toy for them and it doesn't matter. Now, this next one, I also think is pretty crazy. Is it this one? Yeah. Okay. So let me pull it up over here. This is a 1967, before I show it to you, because actually normally you see these before we do this. This right. time you don't. 1967 Porsche 911 S Targa. Okay. Very nice restoration, 67 911 Targa. What do you think that went for? Like honest, God. Yes.
Jesus Christ. 150 to 175.
Okay, good guess.
You're blowing me out of the water right now.
$354,000.
God damn. I mean, that's what I really expected, but I just didn't want to say a number like that.
$354,000. Yeah. Now, this car is...
It's like 112 solid. Horsepower. I mean...
Yeah, it's an... It's
an do it's, with it?
So apparently, this is called a soft window Targa.
And right, they don't have the back glass.
It's one of 483 or the just, yeah, it's like a, yeah, it's, they only made 483 of these in 1967. And it was completely restored 5 years ago, I think they said. And it is flawlessly done. And if I can like, look at the engine bay, I mean, it's crystal clear, clean. The underside is flawless. This was full body off, you know, but still,
yeah.
Still, that number doesn't make sense to me. It's wild.
I mean, anything vintage Porsche air cooled, it's outrageous right now. I mean, they lead the industry in big numbers and just, I don't know. I think unrealistic, like untenable numbers. Like
I wasn't expecting that high.
Right. For a car that's basically, and I'll get all kinds of shit for this, but basically a glorified Beetle. Like
that's fine.
They weren't much more technologically advanced at that point than anything from Volkswagen. Like,
right.
Like what's the rarest, coolest, most expensive Karmann Ghia go for? Because back then they would have been very similar, like same buying audience.
Yeah. Right. That's a good question. Okay. So the next three I'm going to show are almost candidates. I almost picked these, but I didn't put them in the gross or the good because I don't know. The first one I feel like I could have picked, but I skipped it. And I'm going to pull this one up and see what you think. So this is an auction for three BMW 2002 projects. So
none under 20,000 like drivers.
Let's see. Now offered. They're non-running project cars.
Yes.
But there's three of them. And they look like two of them look fairly complete, you know, like that thing's pretty cool.
Right.
And like with that interior, I would drive that interior as is.
Is it just seats and door cards with no carpet? I'm on my phone today, so
I mean, there's even a little bit of a carpet. There's even a little bit of a carpet.
Really?
I think the engine's just pulled on it. One of them is fully bare inside, and then the third one, the blue one, is you know, there's carpet and there's stuff, but there's no passenger seat, and but there's tons of parts for each of them. And so I feel like you could probably make two really good ones and then sell the shell or turn it into a race car and go from there. So for under 20,000 for three BMW 2002s, which I don't think those are ever going to, I don't see those falling through the floor price wise, yeah. You know,
but what did it go for? I didn't hear that.
18,000.
Okay. I mean,
yeah,
that sounds like perfect project for somebody that has time and maybe
or if you're a BMW shop,
sure.
But yeah. And you're sure. Going to churn these out like with effortless, and you already have the parts and you know, the next one. No, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think it's totally fair price, but I just have a ton of questions on something like that. Like, was sure. Did the owner pass away? Like, you know, mid restoration, like what all's right. Included, you know,
are they now haunted?
Because they can't did he die in one of them? Like, but, whatever, you know.
That's fair.
Questions so unanswered, that seems fair.
Right. The next one I was going to pick as a bad one. But then I started looking at the quality of the work, and I was like, you know what? Someone put a lot of effort into this, and it's not my taste. The price is still very high. It's an LS3-powered business coupe turned hot rod. You know, the old Chevy business coupes?
I'm sold already, but it's, I don't want to adjust the price until I see it. It's a Plymouth or Chrysler?
I think it's a Chevy.
Oh, really?
Where the heck is it? Yeah, 1937 Chevrolet Business Coupe, LS3 powered. So there's the car. It's cool. It's not my aesthetic. It's $280,000.
Who built it? That'll tell me everything I need to know.
Built by Killer Hot Rods and Customs of Arlington, Texas.
I don't know who that is, but that's right. Interesting.
But the car, like the green is different. Mm-hmm. I think that this interior is what I kind of think was really cool. If you can see that at all, like almost aircraft style.
I was gonna say, does it have bomber seats?
They look like that. Yeah. And so those came out pretty good. The trunk detail is really nice. And then the engine bay looks really cool too. And the underside is obviously spotless. So it's a really like nicely built car. Just 280s.
Dude, crazy. I can't get there. I mean, even if they could totally have that much in it as far as bodywork and shit, but I mean, right. That thing looks pretty stock body wise. And I mean, it could have taken them, you know, years and years of actual man hours to get the body straight and like,
right.
Like suitable for paint and shit, but that just, it doesn't knock my socks off. It's not super custom. I mean, maybe they hand built some of that trim, but I don't see that being a totally handcrafted car to garner that much money.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, at least it's something different. And interesting, but yeah, I'm with you. That's why I didn't want to. That's why I didn't choose it, because it was like, you know what? That's actually interesting. There's some work there. So this next one is what year is it? It's a 1968 Chevrolet Corvette Sport Wagon with a 572.
You see, what year?
68.
Okay.
And I didn't pick it because it was only bid up to a certain amount. So it didn't sell. Now, it's ugly. However, it does have a 572 and a manual gearbox. It's got side pipes. It's got the right wheel and tire. It's just ugly and goofy enough that I would be like, you know what? I'm going to cruise in this thing.
This looks like something my buddy Zach would send me, hoping that I would
Oh yeah.
co-sign and be like, it's badass. Fucking
I mean,
572.
it looks like an American bread van, you know, the old
Sure.
Ferrari bread van, especially in the profile shot. It looks pretty clean inside. That big 572 is super awesome. Some good engine work too, and you know, comp cams, and other upgrades, big ol' fuel tank out back. But it was only bid up to 25,000, and if it sold at 25,000, I was going to put it in the good side. I was going to say at 25, that
Sure.
would have been cool.
Does it give any history of like when the bodywork was performed, when it was actually built?
I don't know. Let me see, because I closed
I feel
that
like I've
tab.
seen something like that before, but I don't know if it was like a series production or like, I'm
Right,
sure it
right,
wasn't
right.
Yanko or Baldwin or those guys, but if it was like some dealership that like tricked them out, like
Right.
sold them new on the showroom floor, that would make it more endearing to me, but otherwise, it's
Yeah, I
just like,
don't.
why? What are we doing? Turning Corvettes into station wagons.
Right. It looks like. See, I don't see anything that shows when it was made on that. But oh well. So okay. All right. Next one. I'm going to tell you what it is, and then you can guess the price. So now we're in the good. A 2005 Porsche 911 Carrera S Coupe 6-speed. So Carrera S, not a crazy spec, but a nice spec on a 997.1 with only 28,000 miles. What do you think that went for? Remember, we're in the good side.
Meaning it's good, meaning it was a good deal, it was bought well.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, I'd say that's a $65,000 car in that case.
54.
Okay,
I
even
feel like it's
better.
a great deal.
Silver
28,000
over
miles.
black or what?
It is definitely silver. Let me scroll down to the interior. Yep, silver over black, very simple. Not, you know, no crazy spec.
I'm with
But
it.
just clean, 54,000 bucks. Yeah, I'm down with that. That was well bought, and like I feel like the seller's probably like, okay, I was hoping for a little more. But I'm happy with that one. Next one. 1965 Chevy Impala convertible. And I would describe it as a very clean cruiser.
Is it customized at all?
No, stock.
Oh, okay. Am I guessing?
Yeah, I guess. I like when you guess.
What color is it?
It is white.
White, convertible, you said.
Convertible red interior.
Oh man, tugging at my heartstrings there. I'd say 45.
27.
Well,
Yep. Which
yeah.
is insane to me because Impalas are just ridiculously overpriced across the board for the most part.
Totally. But convertibles, I mean, not that they're any less desirable, but I mean, they're less reliable. There's just more shit to go wrong and leak and
Right.
cause rust and shit. So I don't know. I feel like they're less sought after. But also, I don't know what motor's in it. Is it an SS?
283. So it's 283 with a 2-speed, but still, like
Well done.
I feel like someone got a good deal on
Sure.
that car.
You
I
cruise that
like that.
shit up and down PCH all day long.
Absolutely. And then this is our final one. And this is one that I think our friend Anthony Day might be a little sad that he didn't jump on, even though it might be a little too early for him. It is a let me make sure I get the right one. It is a 1984 Camaro Z28 with only 36,000 miles shown on the odometer.
Chills.
What do you think it went for, though?
How many miles?
It says 36,000 miles shown.
Hmm. Does it look like 36,000 miles?
Yes, it does.
I'm going to say 18,000.
12,800.
Okay.
That's pretty good. That's pretty well bought, I'd have to say. I mean, it's an automatic car, but it's not like the manual in this is like giving you the thrill, but like that interior is pretty dope, even though it's also ugly.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a marvel that any of these cars survived and are clean and not just like chain steering wheel and all sorts of tacky shit inside, like, and outside. Yep,
100%. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I just thought that, you know, anything under 30 on Bring a Trailer is almost instantly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to guess, especially when I can't see it. But like, bring a trailer just like brings stupid money sometimes, and just like creates a fucking bidding frenzy, I feel like, sometimes. So it's like it's hit or miss. It's like, either it's way underpriced or it's just exorbitant, and like there were two guys that just fucking battled it out and fucking drove the price to the stratosphere. So,
right.
I feel like, I hate to say it, like not plugging one or the other, but I just feel like cars and bids.
Oh shit! Hold on, I hit the wrong button. Sorry.
But you go ahead. I feel like cars and bids is more like attainable and more like realistic.
Yeah. I agree.
Like, you know, it's, you'll get the cars that probably could use a repaint and have, you know, a bunch of rock chips and shit, but like total survivor condition. But I feel like, not to say they're more honest cars, but they're the cars, a lot of times they're the cars that I'm more interested in, because they're the cars that, you know, you wouldn't feel bad modifying and driving every day. And it's like, you know, they're not complete, you know, time machines.
Right. No, I'm with you. I enjoy checking cars and bids, and there's a few things that pass through there where I'm like, oh, that might be worth a bid. Mm-hmm. Like even cars that people have told me not to buy, like E38s. I think there's a 750 IL up there right now, but there's also a 560 SEC that was just going off. So there's some cool stuff. And like the prices aren't crazy because they're not Bring a Trailer quality cars.
Right.
Yeah, I like it. Now, I told you I was going to do this last week, and I'm not perfectly happy with it yet, but hold on, it'll come in a second.
You gotta turn it up. I can't hear it.
What was it? You can't hear
it?
I
couldn't hear it. I don't know if our audience can, but I could not. And I have my headphones maxed out.
Damn it. I'll play it. Play it again. I'll play it one more time.
I can't hear it, dude. Fuck. What is this? I can faintly hear it, but I have no idea what it actually is. And I don't remember what the hell we talked about last week.
It's a clip of me saying it's time for the Shitbox Speakeasy update, but in like I tweaked the voice and like added a bunch of echo.
Okay.
And it's actually really hard to understand even with volume. So I don't blame you. But it is time for the Shitbox Speakeasy updates.
Oh, man.
What's going on?
I don't know that I've been there in the last week. I'm trying to think. I was supposed to go every day, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I was like, I'm going, I'm getting some shit done, I'm getting these trucks ready to sell. Every day I had a distraction. I was just like, there's always tomorrow. And then the next day, another distraction would pop up. So it's like, now I can't blame my space. I can't blame the cars. I can only blame myself for my lethargy and procrastination. I'm trying to think if there's any updates from the rest of the game.
Why did you get hit with the tailgate?
Oh my God. I didn't get hit with it, but it launched me across the floor.
What the hell was that?
Oh my God. I was trying to pull the K10 back into space because that was just last week. Holy crap. That seems like so long ago. That hasn't even been a week. That was last Thursday. I'll post to my stories or my reels if anybody wants to see it. But, We caught this on our Ring camera, which was perfect timing because Jason was not there, but the rest of the speakeasy inhabitants were. So me, Vin, and Sam, and Zach from Hoonigan as well, we all went to basically move my K-10 and put it back in its new home, which is above the Mustang. I pulled the Mustang down, so I have greater access to it, and I might send that to a shop to get worked on here soon. But we needed the K-10 out of the way because it was impossible to move cars in and out with that long-ass behemoth in the way. So we stepped in the corner and lifted it up, but we were pushing around on Gojacks because the column's still fucking smashed, and I can't turn the wheels or start the truck. So we put it on Gojacks and basically pushed and pulled, like, turned it around and got it into place, and I brilliantly thought that I could just grab it by the tailgate and pull it towards me while we were trying to get it into its final, hopefully very temporary, resting place. But yeah, the tailgate apparently doesn't actually latch. But what was hilarious about it was that it, like, moved freely in its first 6 inches of travel, and then it stuck. So I basically launched myself, like, trying to pull the tailgate. It fucking yanked down 6 inches or so, and I fell down and, like, fell on my ass. Luckily, you know, I'm a ninja. I know how to fall and fall on my cushion. But, oh my God, it was one of the fucking funniest things. Everybody fell out laughing, including myself. I think I was laughing before I hit the ground, actually, because I realized that, A, what was going to happen, B, it was going to be funny to everybody in the room, and we were going to have it caught on camera. And, like, immediately Sam pointed to the camera and was just like, Jason, I hope you got that. And sure enough, like, 3 minutes later, he had an edit. Like, sent it to all of us. It was comedy. But, yeah, thanks for reminding me. But, honestly, I forgot that was this past week. I honestly thought that was a couple weeks ago. I thought we could have even talked about it, but no, you're right.
That's good. It gives me time to do another call out for Shitbox Speakeasy update. I'm going to jump over now to Twitter for some questions.
Get it.
Oh, well, before we do that, if it comes up, it comes up, and if not, I'll address it. I was going to talk about some Jag stuff.
I'm going to get a beverage while you announce questions. Okay. I'll be right back.
Yeah, you can hear me.
Yep.
Wolf Johnny Bravo at Sean Keeley 2. First question, how much electric range does a plug-in hybrid need for it to be actually useful? I say it's a minimum of 25 miles. I think you got to be over that. And then I think you can be useful. 30 is better, but 25 is probably the lower end. Second question is, want to drive the TLX Type S? I have. So I'm good. Thank you. The Fool Suffer asked his question about the Hemi Swap wagon. We addressed that at the top of the show. Matthew Squarcheck, at Scouting for Zen. Inspired by a comment in a recent TST video, why aren't hill climbs more widespread in the U.S.? That's a fair question because there are a few, just a few, whereas in Europe, they're everywhere. And I don't have a good answer for you.
I would piggyback today's Spike's Car Radio, in my opinion. Spike was very disappointed in the broadcast of Pikes Peak, and I didn't check that out at all. But I'd say that American race fans, or just, you know, sporting fans in general, need things packaged for them in a way that is they get all the entertainment, all the bang for their buck, and, like, you know, sitting and watching car after car come by, you know, with 5 minutes, you know, in between or whatever it might be, just isn't palatable to an American audience. We need crash bangs. We need shit going on. We need bumper to bumper stuff. I mean, it's why NASCAR is so popular, but even, you know, open wheel is less popular here in the States. I think just seeing one car go by every few minutes is just not something that's an easy sell to an American audience. So it's also everything in America is sponsor driven. You know, it's like you got to slap fucking mad stickers on cars and you got to see them, you know, go round and round and see them 100 times, you know, to get your money out of it. So,
yeah, that's true too. Jay Pacillo asks, will Hoonigan take over the big lot at SEMA this year in light of Ford's absence? That is not a question.
I cannot comment on that.
David Obchusko asks, I'm in the UK, so my question is, if they sold them in the US, would you buy the Cupra?
What?
It's a Seat. Cupra. I'd be surprised if we don't have some reskinned version of this over here anyway, but this one just, like, looks cooler because It's not whatever we got. Seat. Craig on McBride. Hey, old friend, it's been a while. Had a baby last year and had to sell the 370Z. Got a 21 Silverado Trail Boss, and that will be my only vehicle for a while, but not forever. In 10 years, what cars do you see being available for under 15 that would be fun weekend slash track cars? 10 years.
10 years. 15K? You go.
I don't know. Camaros?
Sure.
That's probably it, because they're, I mean, they're going to stop selling them, so.
That, but that's the thing. Like, I have no idea what the market's going to do when everybody shifts to electrification. Like, are V8-powered cool cars going to skyrocket or at least maintain their value? Like, you know, I'm sure they're going to continue to depreciate, you know, the first 5 years, and then I feel like shit might turn around, you know, as they become more desirable and harder to find.
If the Camaro does drop, it would be a good choice, even though I don't love the Camaro, just because the chassis is fantastic.
Right.
Another question from Jay. What will happen to all the hot rods and muscle cars in the future? Seems like the younger generation has no interest in them. I don't agree with that necessarily. I think there is interest in them. It might not be the same exact cars. You know, I don't know if everybody's going to love 57 Chevy Bel Airs and stuff like that. But, you know, old Mustangs are always cool. Old Challengers, old Chargers, old Camaros, those would be cool.
Even,
for
even the new ones. Like, I think, you know, you got to think people our age, their kids will be coming to driving age in the next 5 to 10 years, a lot of them. And, you know, I think a lot of us would love to get our kids and, you know, even newer Camaros, newer Mustangs, like the shit that is technologically advanced and safe, but also have V8s and, you know, kind of harken back to our childhood. So, I mean, I don't have kids, but I wouldn't have any problem putting my kids in like a Mustang that has ABS, traction control, side curtain airbags, all of that shit. So I don't know. I feel like those will always be good first cars, and you know, we can kind of keep the enthusiasm alive, you know, with our kids.
My daughter says she wants the Jag to be her first car, and I cannot explain to her just how bad of a first car that would be.
Yeah.
Like, the worst possible first car is a Jag.
A
also,
V8
no.
swap Jag from
the
80s.
Yeah. Even if it wasn't,
it's like
better with the V8.
Get an accident, you don't have to worry about the aluminum and the metal. You got to worry about the wood splintering, just, you know, piercing you.
You got to worry about a whole lot. Jay,
dual fuel tank.
Jay at Fabrice. Thoughts on the Rivian CEO's comments about meeting delivery goals or on the new Seiko SSK GMT? It sounds like Rivian is going to be on track. Everybody thought they weren't going to be on track, but they're going to hit that 25,000 mark. So good for them. And then the Seiko SSK GMT, I don't follow the newest watch stuff like Farah and Johnny and all those guys, but I did take a look at it. I Googled it after you, and it looks pretty cool. At this time, I'm not such a heavy watch nerd, even though I am literally wearing an old Seiko right now. I do appreciate the older stuff, and I would love to get some more of those. I did Google it, and it does look very cool. And the idea of a GMT is neat, but I would never actually – I usually don't change my watch when I travel because – I just do the math, but I also have my phone in my pocket. But the idea of being able to do it on a GMT is kind of cool. We're just twisting the bezel, blah, 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 all that stuff. Victor Troya at Victoria 21. What are your thoughts on the Hummer H2? Do you see them continuing to go up in value? No.
Dude, if I hadn't seen what I saw just yesterday, I would agree with you. I saw an H2 sell for $80,000+, and it was basically stock. It might have had, like, you know, chrome add-on brush guard or some shit, but I'm sure it was like under 50,000 miles, but there was nothing special, nothing unique about it.
Wow.
And I can't remember where I saw it. I have to think about it, but $80,000 for a yellow H2. It's like the most garish, you know, version, and I don't know who that audience is to this day, but and I rarely see these trucks, but every time I see them, I'm like,
yeah,
wow, you were stuck in 2005, huh?
Like, I don't see them. And as always, if I say something's going to happen value wise, consider the opposite. So yeah. There you go on that. Like Ron just said, I would love to drive one and actually like really drive one to see if it's capable in the dirt, you know, like, I really would love to drive the one, the H1, just to see that was all what that was all about. Cause it'd be a ridiculous thing, but, I have no desire to own them. But it'd be fun to drive them.
Yeah. They're pretty silly.
Team Radar Love. Yeah. Yeah. Team Radar Love at Midnight Drifto. If you could convert any competition vehicle to be street legal, what would it be? I have two answers, but they're pretty similar. Go ahead. You got one. I can feel it.
Yeah. Bentley GT3. Bentley Continental GT3. One. Just fuck it.
Like the actual race car, yeah. Not the GT3 yeah. They made.
Right. But even though I love that GT3, you know, road car, just because it makes no sense. No backseat, just everything wrapped in carbon fiber, like you're surrounded by carbon fiber. But that race car, like incredibly wide, just fucking mean as fuck. Just, you know, it looks insane, especially in like all carbon bodywork. Like I saw somebody today on Instagram was like specking one for a customer or some shit. And it's just like the wildest looking thing. And it's just, I just love it because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, Bentley has a competition heritage, obviously going back, you know, 100+ years or whatever. But like nowadays, it's like it's the least logical thing you could think of. And I just think pulling up an all carbon Bentley with like no interior luxury,
right?
Like just fucking loud and obnoxious and mean, like that would be the shit.
Yeah. My answer was going to be some manner of trophy truck. So, with, you know, like with a full interior, basically what they do with their pre-runners. But or the other one would be one of those like one of the Red Bull or whoever, whatever brand Dakar, either the full size Dakar, like Kamaz race trucks or the Hilux race truck that I think won its class. So Dakar or a trophy truck would be what I would convert. That dude Pasha asks, if you died today, what cars would you leave to what people and why? Do I want to burden my family? No, I would actually, I would leave the Montero to my daughter. But the problem is that I would have to leave it, like I'd have to have it maintained.
Right.
You know, but I would want her to have it. The Jag, I would say, please sell this ASAP. And then the Mercedes, I would leave to like car Twitter to finish it, to get it finished for me collectively, and then like throw it in a into the ocean or something.
Oh man!
How about you?
I would leave my Tahoe to Anthony. I think he appreciates that more than anybody. Our friend Anthony Dick. My Mustang, I would leave to my buddy Pat, who lives in Atlanta. He's like my guru and helped me build that thing. And just yesterday, he asked me to send him pictures of it because he's just like always like blown away by like how ridiculous it is. And he always wants to see what like the latest is on it. But he literally helped me build that thing and via FaceTime, text. And like I hounded him for like 2-3 years as I was building that thing. And he's, you know, the guy that got me into modifying Mustangs and cars in general. And he was like my big bro in high school, and I got all his hand-me-down parts off of his car because our cars were the same color. I had a convertible. He had a hatchback, and if he upgraded something, then I'd get his takeoff parts. He'd sell them to me. I mean, it had a deal, so he kept me in the game. And yeah, the Audi, I don't know. I don't have any special attachment to that car. I don't know if anybody else would. It's fucking cool, but I mean, it's just I don't own it, so I couldn't really give it to anybody.
Yeah,
it's
like, yeah.
Take these payments.
Yeah, you don't want to do that to anybody. I mean, you got other cars though, man. You got a truck.
Yeah, that truck to give it to Goodwill with the K10.
You got a Lincoln.
The Lincoln is co-owned, exactly. So that would just be absorbed by my buddy Richard and just migrate to a field somewhere and fucking rot away. He'd never do anything with it.
That's funny. All right, I'm grabbing the Instagram questions. Let me pull these fools up.
I'm so irritated. When I post questions, nobody fucking says anything. Last week, I got 2 questions, but other than that, that's it.
Jerks. Start responding to Anthony. Anthony, God damn it. Start responding to Ron's questions.
People? I mean, I just repost your bid for questions on my stories, but...
I don't know.
Maybe should I get on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, Dr. Wemmerling, I'm falling out of love with my FJ80. It's bone stock. How can I relight the fire? You know what you could do is you could sell it, make $135,000. If it's bone stock and if it's in really good shape, it might be worth just kind of, I hate to say this. You know what? I'm not going to say it. Fuck it. Enjoy it. So there's simple suspension upgrades. There's wheel and tire. Just doing wheel and tire, which would not mess with the rest of it. If it's truly bone stock, just going wheel and tire can get you just a little bit deeper off-road. From there, you can do a few things. What's that?
What you said.
Yes. So my honest advice, if we're thinking about like the value of the truck, if you ever want to sell it, do nothing, sadly. Right. But if you really want to enjoy it, start slow. Wheels and tires, then go from there. If it has all the lockers, you're good to go. If not, start thinking about lockers. Start thinking about underbody protection. Start thinking about a winch for recovery purposes. Just basic stuff. Don't go rooftop tent. Don't go full goose gear, you know, remove the back seats and all that shit. Just little by little. Taylor356 asks, worst beer ever. You know what's funny is I can be snobby about beer, but if I'm like at, say, like a backyard party, which I don't do anymore because I'm 42. But if I'm
it's a kind backyard of party when you're 42, what else are you doing?
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
Like
I was at
high school, like Friday night, parents are out of town, backyard party. No. But
I was I was at our neighbor's pool just the other day, so that's a lie. And I was drinking beer. If I'm there and someone's like, "Hey man, I got this cold Bud," I'm like, "Great, thank you, I appreciate it." And I'll never be like, "Ew, ugh, can't touch my lips." And I even consider it like a palate cleanser, right. Like refreshing to be like, "Oh, nice and cold, just get down there." But the worst beer ever is. I think when right now there's a trend, well, there was a trend for a while to just over hop stuff, and we've backed off that a bit, and that's kind of balanced out, so that's good. But I think it's just when people go too far on, like, not necessarily just the fruit, because I don't mind fruit flavored beers, but like when they start doing like weird fruit milkshakey inspired sour, yeah, exactly, your face is correct. Yeah. Like smoothie type beers, like that's, and like I've had one or two that are good, but if a beer can go wrong, it is one of those, and it is spectacularly terrible. That's probably a good answer.
Made up a word.
Spectacularly.
I bet you can't even say it again.
Spectacularly. Pretty cool projects.
I have an answer for that, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Any IPA.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
No, I seriously literally go into a brewery and I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't know how to order anything.
Here we go.
Like, what's the opposite of an IPA? What do you have that's the opposite of an IPA? And they usually have a pretty good answer, and it's almost always like a lager, like something light. And I'm just like, I have the least sophisticated palate for beer. So just.
Well, no, it's just you just know what you don't like.
That's
different. There's, and on the flip side, I guarantee sometimes there's got to be some, you know, bartender. Or brewmaster, they'd be like, no, I got one you'll sure. like. You'd be like, trust me.
Yeah.
Like, just give me the Hefeweizen, the lager. Let's not do this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
What about pale ale?
I'm swag weed. I don't need fucking the acid or the fucking like curated fucking whatever the fuck you've got. Like, I have simple taste, man. Like, I know what I don't like. It's very.
It's funny that I just said that about there being a bartender who would be like, oh, I got one for you. But now in my head, I'm like, I wonder what I could get him to try that he might like.
I'll try anything.
I know you'll try it.
But don't feel bad if I take two sips. I'm like, yeah, it's just not for me. Dude. Like, I don't like wasting people's beer. That's my thing. So I'm like.
I got two in the fridge right now that might be worth a try.
Okay.
Pretty Cool Projects asks, why are old Recaros so comfortable? Probably because they've been nicely worn in.
Well, I think it's the engineering. I mean, you know.
Yeah, better answer.
Recaro, Shielman, like, you know, no matter the age, no matter the decade, like, no matter how well they're worn, like, they're just going to perform better relative to all the other kind of, like, no-name brands, but, like, middle-tier brands that, you know, we kind of have available to us here in the States. Like, Like Recaro engineered seats for aircraft, for German military vehicles. Like, you know, they did their research, and like they're like one of their first seats is called the Ergo. Like ergonomics is like, it's in the name. It's, you know, chief in their design and engineering. Like they work because they work. That's how they were designed. Like they weren't designed just to look cool and like have a badge and, you know, garner a premium. Like they're worth the money.
Yeah, I agree. I wish I had Shielmans in the Montero, but that's just too much money. I'm not doing it. I think they wanted like $1,900 a seat.
I know,
or something.
Two Econoline vans that are probably worth less than the Shielmans that are installed in them, and they are very comfortable. They are very nice, but yeah, I think. I feel like Shielmans are nice, are more appropriate for off-road slash overland vehicles. Like, I think that's a perfect match because typically they don't have much hip bolstering, like thigh bolstering. So it's like they keep you in place with the torso bolsters, and a lot of them have built-in armrests and stuff. And like, that's hugely convenient, especially when you're kind of getting tossed about, but it kind of lets your legs move freely, which is not ideal in a sports car situation.
Right. Yeah. No, I want a pair of Shielmans, but I am not spending that much money.
I might know a guy or two that can
well, I reached out to them once asking what they recommended for my Montero, hoping that it would lead the conversation. Like, I didn't want to just ask for free stuff. And they were like, oh, just let us know, man. This is the price on them. We'll get you set up. I was like, shit.
but discounted. They're not cheap.
No. I said I was going to talk about the Jag. My plan was to have two things fixed before I go to sell it. And the longer I sit here and don't do it, I'm annoying myself. So I think I'm going to switch it to.
Do you have to send it to a shop? Is it something that you think we could tackle? Like, do you want to come by the speakeasy this weekend and like fuck around with your shit?
No. One of them, I think I want to just send to a qualified air conditioning place because I think they can find them. They can find a leak in 2 seconds, plug it, fill it, I'm on my way. The other one, actually, friend of Hooniverse, Rick Radcliffe, who I saw at Sunday Steel Car Show last weekend, wants me to bring it to him to do the fuel thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to stress a lot less about that. Oh, he also gave us props for the podcast. He's really happy it's back, which I appreciated. Thank you, Rick. I'm going to stress less about it and just list it honestly and also, I think the other thing is I was looking at prices of like non-modified Jags, and the market for these cars is terrible. Like, of course it is because it's something I bought. Like Monteros, Jags, like all this shit. Like, they're clean ones are considerably lower than what I was hoping to bottom line this car at. I'm
right,
like, oh,
but
shit.
Like, I think you fit as... This is going to sound weird, but I think you fixed what is undesirable about a stock Jaguar.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
true.
Yours is fun and unique and interesting and it sounds good. And it's just like, you know, it's
undesirable to the average enthusiast, but potentially desirable to Jag people who are like, oh, gross. You've done what to that automobile?
Right. But like those guys.
Right.
Like, they still deal with all the fucking electronic gremlins, like all the fucking bullshit, all the unreliability issues. Like,
yeah,
like to some degree, you've unfucked it. Yeah. It's got a couple things that need addressing, but like, I don't think those are big deals. And I think you should try and knock them out yourself before you list it. It's one thing to list.
It would help. It would go a long way.
It's one thing to list it, honestly, but it's another thing to have those things operational and like totally functioning and like no excuses.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially
if
you have somebody that's willing to work on it and like take it on.
Yeah, it's just me being, you know, lazy.
I mean, same, bro. I'm calling the kettle black. Like, you know, it's like I need to reinstall the front sway bar on the Tahoe, and all I need to do is buy the hardware to do so, and I just haven't done that. Like, it's like I feel like mechanically that's really the only thing that it needs, and then. There's just a bunch of different sets of wheels that I want to like install and try. And it's like, all right, get over yourself and just fucking put one set on, make it look good and deal with it. But
right.
You know, it's having it done is worth twice as much as selling honestly and saying, I don't mean twice as much the overall cost of the vehicle, but like the deduction in price is twice what it would be to just fix it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, for sure. I hear you. Okay, I'll put more thought into the Jag then.
Yeah, at least see what it's going to cost you and then make that decision.
Yeah, that's true too. That's a good point. Because if it is like a shitload, just be like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna think I'm gonna sell it as it
Yeah,
is.
100%.
That's all I've got this week. Do you have anything good coming up?
Let me think. I don't know. You're probably not doing anything with Monterey Car Week, seeing as
No,
that's
sir.
what 2 weeks after. I haven't decided if I'm going to do that. You know, it'd be fun to catch up with some friends, but I don't know who all's going to be there and shit. And like, I mean,
I've never been,
I know that's crazy to me.
and it usually falls on my favorite trip of the year, which is when I go back to New Hampshire for the weekend for like my friends I've known since 7th grade.
Right.
So that's usually around the same time. This year, though, I think it's around like the start of my daughter's school, and we usually go camping before she goes back to school. We did last year. We're doing it this year. We're going to try to make it a tradition. So there's like a handful of shit in the way anyway. So.
I don't know. I feel like this is the year, like the first year post-COVID, that I don't have a dog. I don't have any obligations, like keeping me home. And like, I kind of want to check out Woodward Dream Cruise in Detroit. Like, I've been invited for the last 20 plus years, and it's either conflicted with Monterey Car Week or just something else, or I, you know, just couldn't be away. But I kind of want to check that out for once. I feel like
Yeah,
that's
that sounds like it'd be
kind of
cool.
like a dying breed of an event. It's like, you know, how
Yeah.
much longer can we celebrate? Like, really, it's a celebration of, you know, V8 powered American built, you know, muscle. Like, it's I feel like that could be the torchbearer for the next couple decades, like to keep these cars
Yeah.
relevant and fun and cool. But like right now, they're still current. So I don't know. It's something that I want to check out. I don't have like an official invite, but I feel like I would choose that over Monterey Car Week this year if they were conflicting events. But otherwise, no, I don't really have anything planned, man. Just sell some cars.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Follow me on the Instagrams and the Twitters and all that stuff at Hooniverse Jeff. Ron, where can they find
Triple
you?
Seven Style. Both online
Perfect.
and on Instagram. I do not do the Twitters, but maybe I'll jump back on so I can
Don't.
get some questions answered. Well, I mean,
Don't. It's
dude, the
a
social media
dumpster
experience,
fire.
I know it is, but a social media experience is all about who you follow and, you know, how you interact. And like,
That's
you
true.
know, I try and follow, even on Instagram, like I try and only follow people that inspire and or accounts that inspire and like, you know, to some degree educate. But yeah, I mean,
All those
it's
inspiring thirst
oh
traps.
that too it's polluted. Like, don't get it twisted, but like it's like Instagram, all social media is polluted. But you know, it's like Facebook is basically a non-entity nowadays. It's like just go there to see birthdays and shit. So
Don't even have an account.
right, so it's like I could, not that I need any more online stimulation, but I've just kind of avoided Twitter for so long. But it's like if I try and avoid politics and just follow, you know, the people that I want to learn from, be inspired by, I think might be worth a shot. We'll see.
Well, we will see, folks. Stay tuned for that. For now, though, we'll see you all next week.
Yeah.